This morning, if you'll turn with me to Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord has been speaking in a rebuke of the people. He has been pointing out their flaws, their sins. The things that they were saying about God. In verse 14, they were saying it's vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And they were calling the proud people happy. But in contrast to that kind of thought and remark concerning God, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. They that feared the Lord, what a contrast with those who have no fear of God. Those who have no fear of uttering blasphemous things concerning God. Those who have no fear of taking the name of the Lord in vain. Contrasted with those who do fear the Lord. What is it to fear the Lord? It's to have a reverence, to stand before him in awe of his holy, eternal power. The Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way. And the froward mouth, Solomon said, do I hate? David said, come ye children, hearken to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What is man that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Here's what the fear of the Lord is. Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking guile or deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We're told in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Also, we are told that it is the beginning of wisdom. We're told that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, and it is to depart from the snares of death. And we are told that it is by the fear of the Lord that people depart from evil. They that feared the Lord, what did they do? They spake to one another often. Not just occasionally, but often they would speak to one another about the Lord, about the things of the Lord. I think of all of the inane chatter that people are engaged in. It seems like we want to converse with each other. We want to start a conversation, and so we'll say, my, it's a nice day today, isn't it? Or it's rather stormy, isn't it? Or do you think it's going to rain? And the weather is so often the subject of our conversations. Important things like how hard the wind is blowing, or how cold it might be, or how warm. And And so often, these are the things that people talk about. But the weather is a variable. Look how it changes from day to day. So you're talking about things that are passing away, things that change. How much better to talk about those things that are eternal, the unchangingness of the God that we serve and worship. What a delight it is just to gather with people, with friends, and just to talk about the Lord. The Bible says the Lord, when we do this, hearkens, and he hears us. Have you ever noticed how that you're keyed in on your name? And if people might be in conversation, say you're in the airport, you're waiting for your plane, and someone behind you is talking, and they mention your name, that suddenly you perk. What are they saying? That's my name, you know? Somehow we're keyed in to our names. And the Lord is keyed into his name. And whenever our conversation turns towards the Lord, he hearkens. What's that? Talking about me? What are you saying? You know, the Lord hearkens and he hears, it says. But sometimes what he hears isn't so pleasant. The Lord talked about the fact that he heard the murmurings of Israel. When they were talking about the Lord, they'd start to talk about the Lord. The Lord listened. They said, oh, you know, it's this rotten manna. I'm so sick of this stuff, you know. Manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, manna for dinner. Manna splits, manna cotti, you know. Yes. And murmuring against God's provisions, murmuring against those experiences that were necessary to bring them into the place of God's blessing. The wilderness wasn't intended as a lifelong experience. It was something that we have to pass through to get to the promised land. And rather than looking forward to what God had promised and what God was going to do, they were all involved in the moment of the wilderness and the discomforts of this experience. And having lost sight of the goal, they were murmuring against the Lord. And many times that is the cause of our murmuring, having lost sight of the goal. We murmur. But how it rejoices the heart of God, as when we're talking about him, we declare his glorious power, his love, his goodness, his blessings, his grace. Yesterday, at the baptismal, I had the very wonderful privilege of talking with just a lot of people who came up to me and they were sharing with me all of the marvelous things that the Lord has done and is doing in their lives. How their lives have been so transformed. How their families have gotten together and how they were just being blessed of the Lord, and how good it is since they've invited the Lord to come into their life, and the joy and all that they now experience. That's what the Lord is talking about. They that feared the Lord talked often about the Lord and the things of the Lord and the good things of God and the things that God was doing. And as we were talking there on the beach yesterday with so many, according to the scripture here, the Lord was hearkening. He was hearing the things that were said. In Psalm 105, we are encouraged to talk of all of his wondrous works. In Psalm 107, we are told, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Declare it. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And having hearkened and heard, the Lord then makes a book of remembrance. Now, it seems that God is quite a bookkeeper. And in the Bible, we find many mentions of the books that God keeps in heaven. This is a book of remembrance that God is keeping. 8 times the Bible mentions the book of life. Moses, in his prayer to the Lord when he was interceding for the nation, asked God's forgiveness of the people. And if not, he said, I pray you'll blot my name out of the book. Daniel 12:1 tells us that at that time Michael will stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of the people. Time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Deliverance for those written in the book. In Psalm 56:8, the psalmist said, you tell my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Don't you have recorded my weeping and my tears before you? David praying for his enemies. I wouldn't want to be one of his enemies. He said, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. And in 139, he said, your eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book, all of my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. In Philippians 4:3, Paul said, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And this is one of the 8 mentions of the book of life. But here is the book of remembrances. As God records those who fear him and who talk often one to another about him. It's sort of an awesome thought to realize that my name is written in God's book of remembrances. In Revelation chapter 20, at the great white throne judgment of God, John tells us, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, books plural. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Many books. Another open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works, God's records that he keeps. And then the Lord declares, concerning those who have spoken often to one another about the Lord, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. I love it when the Lord gets very possessive in his talk concerning me. My son, he's mine. I love that. That the Lord would own me as his own. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. He's mine, Father, one that I have redeemed. And then he goes on to declare, and in that day, when I make up my jewels, not only are we his, but we are his treasure. When Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus, he spoke of his prayer for them, that God would give to them through the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit, wisdom and understanding, that they might first of all know what is the hope of their calling. May God help you just to understand the glorious things that he has prepared for you, his children. The glorious future he has for you. That eternal life in Christ, in his kingdom. The hope of your calling, but then what is the exceeding riches of his inheritance in the saints. Not your inheritance. The first part deals with your inheritance. The second part deals with his inheritance, that you might know how much God treasures you. If you only knew how important you are to God, how much he loves you and how much he treasures you. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man going through a field and discovering a treasure. And who for the joy thereof goes out and sells everything that he has in order that he might buy the field so that he can obtain the treasure. It's a parable. But in the parable, we are told that the field is the world. Now, in that world, there is a treasure. And with the discovery of the treasure, there is one that goes out and sells everything that he has in order to buy the world, in order that he might obtain the treasure. And as we begin to unravel the parable and interpret it, we realize that in the interpreting of the parable, the treasure becomes the church, the body of Jesus Christ, or you. He discovered you and considered you a treasure, so valuable to him that he was willing to sell everything, to give his life in order that he could redeem the world, in order that he could take you out of it. If you only knew how much God values you, how much God prizes you. Again, my jewels, and there's a parallel parable of the merchant who is out seeking pearls, and he finds a goodly pearl and sells everything that he can purchase that pearl, his jewels. And so Jesus, so graciously, giving himself, selling all to purchase or redeem the world from the power of Satan, just for the purpose of taking you, his treasure, out of it. That's the estimate and the value that God places upon your soul. He prizes it very highly. Jesus said, again in demonstrating God's estimate of your soul, What should it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In other words, the Lord's estimate of your soul is that it is more valuable than the whole world. And if you gain the whole world but lost your own soul, you would be the loser. To have the whole world would be a poor exchange for your soul. And the second question Jesus asked, and what will a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, the value that God places upon you is greater than the value of the whole world. The amassed wealth of the world, in God's eyes, is not as valuable as your soul. But yet, look what people are selling out for. Popularity. Few moments of pleasure. A handful of brightly colored glass beads. Men sell their souls so cheaply, and yet God places such a value upon them. He treasures them. And the Lord says of those that fear his name and talk often to each other that they are his jewels in the day when he makes up his jewels. I think of what God was willing to give in exchange for your soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Peter tells us that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from that empty life that we were living, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus. Paul said, you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. And again, because we've been bought with a price, Paul said, we should not be the servants of men. We're the servants of God. He purchased me. I belong to him. My life belongs to him. He is the one who purchased me, redeemed me, to take me out of this world that I might be his jewels, his treasure. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. In that day when the Lord gathers his jewels together, he'll say, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. You're his. You belong to him. You're not any longer your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Live for him. Talk often about him. Live in the fear of the Lord, walking before him in fear, reverence, awe. The rewards are tremendous. To be his jewel, his treasure. So we pray, Father, we thank you that you have prized us so highly, that you count us your treasure, your jewels. And Lord, we look forward to that day when you claim that which is yours. When you, Lord, complete the transaction, and you lay claim to your purchased possession, and you gather us together as your jewels. Father, we do not know, it's a mystery to us, why you should love us so much and prize us so highly. And yet, though it be a mystery to us, Lord, it is something for which we are so grateful. So thankful today that you do love us and that you do place such a great value upon us and our relationship with you, that we might indeed be your children, your jewels. Father, help us. Free us, Lord, from the emptiness and the shallowness that is so prevalent in the world around us. And Lord, bring us into that deep, rich communion and fellowship with you, where you become so much and so completely a part and of our lives that our conversations, Lord, are centered upon you, upon your work, upon your love, upon your goodness, upon your blessings, upon your grace. And may we indeed speak often, one with another, of the glories of the God who has redeemed us, treasures us, and will bring us into his glorious kingdom as his treasure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? I really don't understand completely all this talk today about self-esteem. I've never had any problem with it, because if God esteems me so highly, if I'm worth so much to him, that makes me realize that there is value. He considers me his treasure, his gem, his jewel. And when Satan comes along, points out my flaws, shows me, you know, how nothing I really am, I just sort of laugh and say, hey, he treasures me. He treasures me highly. I'm of great value. Great value to him. His jewels. May the Lord bless you, and I pray that this week you'll find someone to converse with about him, speaking often of his love and of his goodness, sharing with others what the Lord means to you, his goodness and his blessings upon your life. That the Lord might have a lot to record. Let's keep that recording angel busy this week. As he writes in the Book of Remembrances, let's give him a lot to write about as we share with one another the goodness and the blessings of our Lord.